Right now, though, it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss music, animal advocacy, and any number of other topics with today's guest, singer-songwriter Nellie McKay. Meanwhile, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Django Reinhardt with his version of Tiger Rag here on Talking Animals. This is Django Reinhardt with his version of Tiger Rag, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest. Singer-songwriter Nellie McKay, who recently issued yet another wonderful, highly acclaimed album called Home Sweet Mobile Home, her fifth release in 6 years. Meanwhile, during those years, she's considerably broadened her slate of professional projects, but a strong through line has been her role as a passionate, articulate animal activist. We'll find out more about that work, her new album, other aspects of that work, and more when Nellie McKay joined us in a few moments here on Talking Animals. This also marks the fifth anniversary of Talking Animals on WMNF. The guest on that first WMNF show, November 9th, 2005, was, that's right, Nellie McKay. As usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments for Nellie at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. And later, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, we'll give away a copy of Nellie's new album, Home Sweet Mobile Home. Right now, though, it's time for some animal news items and or announcements. So let me first tell you, talked a little bit over the last few months about this anti-tethering ordinance that's being worked on here for Hillsborough County, which, of course, would prevent people from just tying up or chaining their dogs outside and leaving them to suffer weather, animal attacks, things that would frighten them otherwise, etc. So the next meeting, the next Animal Advisory Board meeting, where they'll be discussing that, that ordinance in the works, is coming up November 17th. At 6:30 p.m., it's at the County Building in downtown Tampa, 601 East Kennedy Boulevard, second floor of that building, and that's in Tampa. Give you the zip code in case you're MapQuesting, Google Mapping, etc. It's 33602. So again, that's the Animal Advisory Board meeting regarding the anti-tethering ordinance coming up November 17th at 6:30 p.m. at the County Building in downtown Tampa, 601 East Kennedy Boulevard. Second floor, Tampa, 33602. Also coming up November 13th is the Fall Pet Adoption Expo from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Florida State Fairgrounds. There'll be over 40 rescue groups with hundreds of adoptable pets and various pet products, etc. Admission is incredibly reasonable. We can't say the exact price here on the air, but if you bring a pet food donation, let's just say it'd be hard to be more reasonable. And parking much the same, courtesy of SPCA and some other sponsors. And of course, they'll have a Veterans Week special, Pets for Vets. It's just it's going to be a great day for animals. So find out more at humanesocietytampa.org or hillsboroughcounty.org/animal services. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Matt Bronger with a piece I'm calling Owls and Dalmatians on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
Anyway, Harry Potter. Like, I like them. I like the books. I like the movies. But I think they send the wrong message to our kids. And that's that it's okay to own an owl for a pet. No. Okay? I'm from Oregon. I know. Owls are made of claws, feathers, and hatred. That's it. Like, owls don't give a crap. You ever look at an owl, the rage and hatred in his eyes? Up in a tree, like, who? Who? Who's next to die? It's you, mouse! Ow! And I'm back, hating everything that lives. Hey. It's kind of like 101 Dalmatians. You remember when that movie came out and all the kids wanted Dalmatians for Christmas? Even though the Dalmatians are the most insane dog in dog land. They are. You throw a stick to a Dalmatian and come back with his own leg torn off. Yeah. Is that what you threw? I didn't even look. Ha ha! Dalmatian! They yell their own name like Geronimo. I mean, that's why firemen have them. They're the only animal that'll run in a burning house like it's a regular house. You know? God, you crazy dog. Go inside. See if there's a baby. Okie doke! I'm back and on fire for some reason. Is that a baby? That's a loaf of bread. How are you alive?
All right. Matt Bronger with a piece I'm calling Owls and Dalmatians, part of his debut set on Letterman. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page. Like us already, will ya? And our Twitter page. Please follow us. Plus, there's a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Nellie McKay, so let me outline a few things about her. As I mentioned earlier, Nellie recently issued yet another terrific acclaimed album, Home Sweet Mobile Home, her fifth release in 6 years. Meanwhile, during those obviously prolific years, she's also somehow managed to considerably broaden her slate of professional projects, including an award-winning turn on Broadway and a revival of the Three Penny Opera, acting in films, recording music for the soundtrack of the HBO series Boardwalk Empire, and writing for the New York Times Book Review. A strong through line has been her role as a passionate animal activist with a wide array of issues that have drawn her interest and sometimes her songwriting talent. She's also been on Talking Animals more than any other guest, including 5 years ago yesterday when I did my first tryout show here on WMNF, so I thought it'd be fitting and fun to invite her on today to help mark the fifth anniversary. But heck, I always am looking for an excuse to chat with Nellie. So, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Nell McKay back to Talking Animals. Nellie, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. So it seems, like I said in the little intro, just fitting to celebrate our fifth anniversary here at WMNF, which you were nice enough to be that first guest on that first tryout show here at WMNF. So it just seemed like, well, what better guest to mark the fifth one? So thanks for joining us again today.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
A lot of people care about animals.
That's right. That's right. So one of the things that's been kind of really exciting to see as an admirer of yours and sort of a radio pal, I guess, is, as I alluded to in your introduction, just the way you've kind of deftly, you know, broadened your career into theater and film, writing and more. As your career has grown and blossomed and you've presumably become, you know, busier and busier, do you find you have less time to speak and work on behalf of animals, or in fact, there are maybe might be more opportunities as you step into larger, perhaps more influential worlds?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the only reason. I mean, I guess everybody likes a bit of money, but that's the only reason to, you know, to...
Nellie? Hello?
Help.
Oh, okay. I think sort of. We temporarily we lost you. I don't know what happened there, but thank God you're back. Okay, so
oh,
I think
no.
We kind of missed. I think what you were starting to answer by way of response there, but I'm glad we haven't lost the call.
Right. It might have been my doggies. I think they're jealous of the interview.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get them involved, of course, before our time's up here.
Yeah. No, but I was just saying. I mean, that's the you know biggest reason to try to. You know, do well is so that you might be able to make a difference somehow. So I wish I was bigger because, frankly, you know, if I show up at a protest, nobody cares. But, you know, that's one thing that celebrity can be really useful for.
Sure. Well, I'm not quite sure that nobody cares, and, you know, by a long shot. And you are obviously concerned and have shown up and not just talked about things, but you know, walked the walk as well. I mean, what animal issues are sort of at the center of your attention these days? I mean, you can't do everything, you can't work on every issue, so presumably you you know, sort of must prioritize some of those issues, even if in a different year, maybe that's the issue you're, or issues that you're working on versus last year or next year, there might be a different set. I mean, you know, early on when we first started talking, I think 5-6 years ago, a pivotal cause for you was the animal testing going on at Columbia University, and you even wrote and recorded a song about it, Columbia's Bleeding. But what now, what today is kind of high on your list of things that really should get attended to or people should be more aware of that they may not be?
There are the chimpanzees at the primate center, the primate facility in New Mexico, that the National Institutes of Health are trying to put back into research. They were retired, you know, taken from the Colston Foundation, which you know had some horrible abuses. And of course, animal experimentation in and of itself, it just isn't right to do that to a living, sentient creature.
Sure.
So I think there's a huge movement against the National Institutes of Health and the National Center for Research Resources, which is a division of that, to stop them from taking these chimpanzees, many of whom are elderly, and who have been out of the research thing for so many years, to go back to that invasive research. I mean, it's so horrible. It's such a double cross. And it's not only many animal organizations, including the Humane Society and the American Anti-Vivisection Society and Jane Goodall and her organization, but the New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson says, I feel strongly that we must save the chimpanzees.
Yeah.
And that there is a compassionate and prudent alternative to them being relocated. So that, I think it was moved up to January of 2011. And also their relocation would cost jobs and a lot of money to taxpayers, whereas making them a sanctuary, you know, is a good thing for everybody, not just the chimpanzees. So I very much hope that before January they can effectively stop the National Institutes of Health. So if anyone wanted to look into that and write in a letter, especially to Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of the Interior, you know, that would be great, and to join the campaign to try and spare these chimpanzees.
Well, that sounds, you know, very good and very specific. And Nellie, I should probably have this at my fingertips, but I'm afraid I don't. Is there a specific website or even Facebook page where people, you know, that beyond trying to, you know, write Kathleen Sebelius, which of course they should do, but could find out more and find out other ways, you know, locally, regionally, otherwise, that they could help out in this regard?
Well, I bet if you're a resident of New Mexico, that might be especially... your voice might be stronger, or perhaps Texas, because that's where they're being relocated to. If you go to the American Anti-Vivisection Society, I know it comes up on their scroll, so that's aavs.org. And also, the Humane Society, I think, is one of the chief organizations pushing the Great Ape Protection Act.
Sure.
Which is currently on the floor of Congress with over nearly 150 co-sponsors. So
yeah, that looks very promising for making it through. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if they could pass that, then there would be no issue.
Right. In fact,
chimps and more chimps.
Right. Well, it's funny. Even as we were speaking and you were mentioning New Mexico, up on the email screen came an email from someone that says, we are very active in trying to save these primates here in New Mexico, Susan in Santa Fe. So, you know,
great.
I wasn't necessarily sure how many folks you would be speaking to or we'd be speaking to at the moment in New Mexico, but boom, there is one right there. So, I just want to remind folks, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with singer-songwriter Nellie McKay, whose new album is Home Sweet Mobile Home. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. Now, looks like there's already, before we've even invited people to call, looks like we've got a caller here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Nellie McKay?
Yeah, hi.
Yes,
my name is Wally. I'm a cat, dog, and Nellie lover from down here in Holmes Beach, Florida.
Okay.
And,
do you have a question for Nellie?
Hello?
Do you have a question for Nellie? Yeah, you're on the air, sir.
I do. I know that she's got a great heart for animals, but I think that her latest record, Home Sweet Mobile Home, is her best yet. And I just wanted her to talk to the extent that I know she doesn't promote, well, she's doing animal shows like this, but us humans really appreciate. So if she could just talk a little bit about, you know, how she came up with such catchy songs and ones that just, you know, put happiness. I recommend it to everybody to get this record. It's her best one, and it goes back to the early Nellies when she was writing her songs.
Okay, well, that's, I appreciate the call, and I certainly intended to talk to Nellie about that album. So, and we may come back to that absolutely, because there's some things I certainly want to address about that and about her touring behind it, etc. For the moment, though, I might just want to kind of stay a little bit more with a couple of things we're already sort of exploring here. So Nellie, to what extent have you found your view of certain animal issues have changed? I mean, obviously, you know, the chimps that we just discussed seems like kind of front and center. But I guess a parallel question that maybe that I might have is over the years, have you found that your views may have shifted about certain animal organizations and their work and or effectiveness?
I do think that people need to be forced to do things, unfortunately. I mean, you see it, say, with recycling, that if it's not a mandate, people don't do it, or they don't do it enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the legislation is huge.
Yeah.
And it's slow, and it's not glamorous, and I think you almost just always must fight against being co-opted by the forces. That you have to play the game to a certain extent, but it's kind of a dangerous game in that respect, because they can always kind of buy you out,
yeah.
I'm always scared that, I don't know, Bill Maher is going to play the White House, and it's just you get very frightened that those few really true voices that they're going to, make friends with the wrong people and somehow be muted. Not that the White House doesn't do some good things, but, you need that.
Right, being kind of unfettered and unmuted in any way to really speak.
Exactly, and yeah. Unbeholden to anyone.
Yeah, right.
Even on a friendly level.
Sure. Go ahead, sorry.
No, but so I think legislation is very important, but I also think it's so important that we have people speaking about the philosophy of it, that animals are not ours to exploit, period, and it's not just about a bigger cage for the battery hen or the laboratory mouse.
Right. Well, given the sort of added emphasis that you've placed on legislation, how that's kind of in some ways just the most tangible and sometimes effective way to really help our animal friends. Is it my imagination, or are you, with that in mind, perhaps more philosophically aligned with the Humane Society of the U.S. these days than, say, PETA, that maybe in earlier years you might have been more, sort of in concert with, as it were?
No, I wouldn't want to, really single out one group over another.
Uh-huh.
But no, I think PETA does incredible work, and I'm very in line with PETA. They do so many, say, their research and investigations unit. They put so much money directly towards the animals. I think Ingrid Newkirk is still, pulling a tiny salary, and compared to some of the big organizations,
mm-hmm.
That hierarchy thing can start taking over. They have a huge amount of women working for them. I know women are still the majority of the animal rights movement anyway.
Sure.
But the fact that PETA is headed by a woman, I think, is wonderful. No, I think I'm a huge supporter of PETA. I wouldn't say I'd support anyone else over them. I think everybody else. I think everybody, for the most part, these organizations are doing an extraordinary job, you don't see, it really feels like everybody cares about the animals.
Yeah.
I know there can be, fighting between the groups, and
sure.
And there can be a certain pomposity sometimes. you get from, you know, certain of the animal things, or even people who have written great books. Sometimes they become the expert, and it gets on my nerves. There's someone who's always been one of the underlings, you know, you know, when you have to sit there and listen to an expert.
Yeah.
You never trust the experts.
Right. Right.
In any field. But yeah. I hope that everybody can work together, because we're up against such mammoth money and obstacles, and we're on the fight of the littlest little guy in this one.
Right. Well, no, yeah. And again, I mean, I may have just sort of put a couple of assumptions together. I mean, just between the legislation, which HSUS, you know, I think does more and more actively and more effectively probably than any at least major animal welfare group. And maybe also, frankly, the last time I saw you, you were at an HSUS event. So I guess there was just a few things. And what I've read or seen or heard about you, you know, when you were talking about some of these things, there hadn't been kind of the PETA element to the extent maybe as the earlier years. So I just sort of put all of those together and maybe landed somewhere slightly off the mark. But you know, speaking of the little guy and maybe just more kind of locally, all the way locally into your house, as you already mentioned, there was a dog sort of messing with your phone call there. I think the last time we spoke, you were fostering a couple of dogs. Now, did one of both of those dogs find homes in your home?
They're listening. So
okay, yeah.
Well,
so both those dogs are still part of the.
Yeah, they're still in the picture, and I must say, they're such an inspiration, and you know, they run me ragged, but I think in some way, you know, all that running, it makes things percolate in your mind.
Sure.
And I mean, that's another thing. I interned at PETA when I was quite a while ago, when I was just in high school.
Yeah.
And I loved how they had dogs all over the place.
Sure.
Just as a young person, I thought that's a whole new world. It's so basic, you know. It's like businesses providing daycare. I don't see why more businesses can't allow you to have your dog at work.
Right. Well. Also, too, you know, it's funny because I remember the very first time you were on Talking Animals, which goes back, I think, to early 2004. A listener called in to ask if you lived with any animals, and at that point you said it just wasn't quite practical for you to do so, what with touring and other rigors of your lifestyle. So how have things changed in your lifestyle, or did you just decide you needed to make some accommodations so that you could share your life with those nice dogs we're hearing in the background?
Right. If you hear any snoring or grunting, it's not me.
Okay, thanks. That's comforting.
It's still completely impractical. And I wish it had been a thought out decision. It just kind of happened. It's still a bad idea. But what are you going to do?
Right.
They bring so much happiness.
Well, yeah, and it's trumped by the better idea of having dogs there with you. So, Well, so again, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with Nellie McKay, whose new album is Home Sweet Mobile Home. If you have a question or comment for Nellie, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Now, as that caller earlier indicated, and I certainly plan to do this otherwise, I do want to speak a little bit about Home Sweet Mobile Home. But first, since we sort of talk about this related to the dogs and sort of the complicated, you know, life and schedule that you lead, I mean, touring behind Home Sweet Mobile Home, at least as far as I've been able to discern, has consisted of just like sort of a handful of dates. I think fewer than 10, including, you know, sort of the major city tour stops you might expect, New York, San Francisco, L.A., but also like Eugene, Oregon, and a few others that, you know, wouldn't necessarily predict. I mean, I've had the pleasure of seeing you perform live a few times, mostly in Southern California, but how do we lure you to Florida? I mean, that's the key question.
Oh, love to come to Florida, and now I feel more able.
Nellie, I think your little dog. Oh, yeah. Sorry, no. I think your little dog friend may have whatever happened before briefly happened again, because we weren't hearing you for just a brief moment there. But now you're back, I think. So
no, I just hope we can come to Florida. I hope the dogs can come too.
Cool, cool, cool. And have you played? I mean, it might have been before my time as a Florida guy, but have you played Florida at any point?
Yes, we played Miami once.
Oh, okay.
And that was a really sweet crowd. And some other. We played in Sanibel.
Okay, cool. Well, that dog has either the loudest snore or an airplane just went overhead. But let's we got some callers who seem to be quite eager to speak to you. Let's take a few of those. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Nellie McKay.
Yes, hi, is this me?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Yeah, hey, Nellie, I'm a big fan of yours, and I really appreciate your support for all the animals. And I just wanted to say that your demeanor and your appearance seem so conservative and sweet, but your politics are quite often the opposite of what a person would expect to come out of the mouth of someone like you. You know what I mean? I wonder if you kind of feel like you're kind of coming in under the radar with the way that you appeal to people, kind of like a Stephen Colbert type thing where, you know, you kind of can get people to listen and then they get surprised by what they hear in your message.
Oh, thank you. I think. No, but I take a compliment. I don't know. I think I remember when I would be going down to protest in Washington, D.C., and my mother would ask, what are you wearing? And I'd say, oh, you know, just a plaid shirt and a pair of jeans, you know. And she would, you know, say, what are you wearing that for? Everybody looks so counterculture. I just wish somebody would be on TV in a suit. So I think that was perhaps where it came from. And of course, I do love getting dolled up. I remember when I played a Nader rally in Denver, people said when I came out, I think it was in a white suit and sparkly earrings, they thought I was some Republican delegate. it would be the wrong city for the Republican convention, but I guess the Democratic delegate isn't really, they can get pretty sparkly themselves. So I suppose that's it. I think it's important that people see that they're all types in a movement, and that just because you know, you care about animals. You can certainly, you know, you can dress comfortably and dress however you like. But that also, you can really believe that we do not have that every animal has a right to its own life, and yet you can appear quite normal in other respects. You can potato chips are vegan. You can eat some of the same foods as everybody else.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for your call. And we're unfortunately sort of nearing the end of our time, Nellie. But I apropos of our conversation of HSUS, I think I should read this email that just came in a moment ago, which says the subject line is Humane Society of US. If you send them a donation, it will be distributed to every animal and environmental group on Earth, and you'll be inundated with solicitations that will be very difficult to stop. I have sent them 8 requests and 3 calls to get me off their list, and I still get more and more stuff. It appears they spend your money on lobbying and not on animals directly, and stick to the local shelters and your money will be used and your name not given out or sold on mailing lists. So that's certainly one point of view on HSUS. So, Nellie,
I think that is a problem that people do tend to get inundated. I think some people mind less than others, but I think that can happen even with, you know, human rights organizations too. There are a lot of shared lists. But in terms of the lobbying, that, at least from my point of view, I think that is very important. But certainly, you know, your local, there's so many smaller and local organizations to support too. I think they're all doing good work though, the national and the local. I'm sorry about the waste of paper though, if you didn't want all the solicitations, because that can be a bother.
Right. All right. Well, shoot. We are now really at the end of our time. I wish we, as always, had more time to chat. But Nellie, thank you so much once again for joining us on Talking Animals. And again, the new album is called Home Sweet Mobile Home. We'll be giving away a copy as the prize on Name That Animal Tune in a moment. And again, for more information, there's Nellie, NellieMcKay.com for more information, tour dates, if there's others to be added, and other info articles, etc. So, Nellie, thanks again for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you, Duncan.
Okay.
Take it easy.
All right. Take care now. Best wishes. Thanks a lot. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of Nelly's new album, Home Sweet Mobile Home, to the first person who identifies this animal tune by calling 813-239-9663. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
There's an old Australian stockman lying dying. And he gets himself up onto one elbow and he turns to his mates who are gathered round and he says, "Watch me wallabies feed, mate. Watch me wallabies feed. They're a dangerous breed, mate. So watch me wallabies feed all together now. Tie me kangaroo down, sport."
All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Currently the show airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return Wednesday, December 1st, when our guest will be Craig Pittman, a staff writer for the St. Petersburg Times and author most recently of Manatee and Sanity, Inside the War Over Florida's Most Famous Endangered Species. I hope you'll join me then. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And we have a big phone line. All the phone lines are lit, so hi, we'll take them in the order that came. Hi, can you name that animal tune?
Is that me?
Yeah.
It's a tiny kangaroo down sport.
Cool. What is your first name, sir? Quickly.
My name's Frank.
Frank, okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. You are our winner. Thanks to everybody else who called in, and we're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is Nellie McKay from her new album, Home Sweet Mobile Home. It's Bluebird on WMNF Tampa.
Bluebird, bring back my happiness and see me through this clouded hour. Bluebird, on wings of loveliness, carry me to a field in flowers.